שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, וב באדר בייס, פרשס ויקה, תף שלהן, וב, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 17 March 2016. Webcasting from the promised land, the world will not let us have. For sure it is the holy land, there's nothing like it on the face of the earth. Such a small country whose every square meter the world has begrudged us, envied, and insisted the Jews have no right to it. Read the record of the Peel Commission in 1937 and of the complaints being made then, how we were stealing their land. You know, that is the position of the Church of Scotland, whose home base in Jerusalem is in Baca. Its head prelate has said that there is no basis in the Bible for the Jews today to claim title. In his view, Zionism has been an illegitimate enterprise for claiming ownership of land the Bible does not entitle them to. Go figure. How the world puts a microscope over Israel and has something, rather almost something, negative to say about every uncultivated land that Israel claims and wants to develop. This week, the GOI, the GOI, the Government of Israel, ruled that 578 acres of undeveloped land down at the bottom of the world, near Jericho, is state land. And the governments in the West, the U.S., the U.N., the U.K., France, Germany, all complain that Israel does not have the right to do this. All said it harms the peace process. When the subtext to that is, this land belongs to the ancient ones. You Jews have no special right to this land, no more than the Palestinians, Palestine's legitimate ancient owners. They all had some snarky criticism. But I was most taken with the Reuters reportage on these reactions by these nations to the Israeli government's announcement. The language used by Reuters, the politically correct lexicon, contained like half a dozen lies, all against Israel, that have become the building blocks of Jew hatred today without people even realizing it. For example, Reuters reported, starting with the lead sentence, that the U.S., France, and Germany, quote, criticized Israel's decision to appropriate large tracts of land in the West Bank, close quote. The West Bank. This name came into common parlance in 1968. That insane year, and its purpose was and remains the extermination of the names Judea and Samaria that appeared on maps for ages, right up to 1969. West Bank has dispossessed Judea and Samaria, and does so every time it's used. West Bank is a piece of anti-Semitic propaganda that no self-respecting Jew should ever use. The lead sentence went on to say that these powers criticized Israel's move because, quote, it violated international law. Another lie. It's extremely rare in free societies with a balanced Supreme Court to receive court decisions that are unanimous. Most are split decisions. There are two sides to, if not every, every issue, then most of them. But in the matter of Israel, the opinion is unanimous across the entire planet. It's the only nation at the United Nations, Israel is, does not denied a seat at the Security Council. It's written in stone that Israel violates international law by developing barren land in Judea and Samaria. It's a given. Judea and Samaria belong to the Palestinian nation, a nation that in 1948, minding its own business, was all of a sudden invaded by these larcenous, pushy Jews who barged in and stole Palestine from them. Leastwise, a big chunk of it. And then again in 1967, the Jews struck a second time and won't return what they stole, so that the original indigenous native Palestinian nation can have the state they have been dreaming of for all of time, because they've never really had one. Reuters reported that Israel had violated international law and contradicted a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, close quote. Here are two more humongous anti-Jew lies. The buzzword here, two-state solution, is also verbal camouflage of the undying belief that Israel has to retreat from Judea and Samaria and turn it all over to the victims of Israel's aggression in 1967. And the other lie here is the expression, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which dispossessed, really turned inside out, the earlier name for the endless violence here, the Arab-Israeli conflict. In the 1950s and 60s, that conflict was about the superiority in men, materiel, and strategic depth of the Arabs trying to wipe out, to prevent, the Jewish state from existing. When reversed, it turned into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, Israel is in the first position with a powerful military that denies the Palestinians the right to a state. You know, this is psychological projection and another whopping lie. This Reuters dispatch went on to refer to the, quote, Palestinian city of Jericho. But I never cease to be amazed at the use of this proper noun when it's nothing but more verbal camouflage or verbal sand thrown in your eyes, for there's nothing Palestinian about Jericho. It's wholly inhabited by Arab Muslims, whose language is Arabic, call themselves Arabs. They are Muslims, Arabs and Muslims. These are two identities, both rooted, not in Palestine, but in the Arabian Peninsula, which is hundreds of kilometers from Palestine. There is, in a word, nothing Palestinian about them. Five times daily, they bend down in the direction of the Arabian Peninsula. That is hardly the behavior of a true Andougine, as they say in French. The Palestinians claim to be the indigenous people of Palestine when there's nothing indigenous about them. They howl and they shriek that Israel is an occupation of Palestine. When I say the true occupiers, the true foreigners, the true colonists representing an empire are the Arabs. Their Arab empire is rooted in the Arabian Peninsula. These are like colonists sent out from the home country. As Eretz Yisrael was an imperial prize for a distant Rome for centuries, for two centuries Rome used the terms Judea. So Eretz Yisrael was an imperial conquest for the Arab empire, whose seat is Mecca in the Hejaz. Also, like Rome, far from Eretz Yisrael. They howl at us, imperialists, colonists, because that's exactly who these Arab Muslims are. And the Reuters report went on saying that in Paris, on the Quai d'Orsay, in the foreign ministry, a spokesman said, settlements contradict international law, and as I point out in my book, the law the speaker may or may not have in mind is never cited. Never cited is the name of this law and in what law book it can be found. Never cited is the decision of a court ruling that the post-67 Jewish communities are illegal in international law, and no legal ruling accompanied by briefs with footnotes and references to earlier court decisions. Quote, the settlements are illegal in international law has become like liturgy in the Church of the Enlightened. It has become some kind of mantra. It's a cousin, so to speak, of what we recently heard out of Newton Mass, where Catholic boys at a basketball game were jeering at the other team, you killed Jesus, you killed Jesus. I say the settlements are illegal and international law is in the same category. The first is the accusation of having committed murder. The second is stealing someone else's property. In the old Wild West, a claim jumper could be given a necktie party. Next, Reuters' sub-Rosa lie was this, quote, all people in Israel and Palestine have a right to live, close quote. Take my word for it, especially those younger than I. In the 1950s and 60s, before the Six-Day War and even into the 70s and 80s, one never saw this formulation in Israel and Palestine. In those decades, there was no Palestine. I noticed like 10 years ago when meeting a Gentile college student from the States visiting who wanted to be a diplomat and he wanted some experience about the Middle East conflict, and he told me he had just been in Palestine. I had to correct him. I had to tell him Palestine never existed for the Arabs, and it's no accident that what they call Palestine is a home to no serious town or industry, because until the Zionists showed up, there was no Palestinian people, no Palestinian government, no Palestinian Department of Works to take care of the highways, no one to maintain the roads, you know, that the Palestinians had built. This recent coinage, Israel and Palestine, is just more anti-Semitism, because it declares that some of the promised land really belongs to this mythical nation absent from all history, with a history of claiming there was no such country as Palestine, as Haj Amin did in his lifetime. They said the exact opposite for the first half of the 20th century. Reuters went on to call it a decades-long conflict, which could not be more wrong. It's been going on for over 1,000 years. The relationship between Jews and Arabs, Jews and Muslims, did not begin in 1948. It did not begin in 1967. It didn't begin in 1917. I have on my bookshelf an 1840 edition of a diary kept by a Christian monk, a pilgrim to the Holy Land at that time, in which he describes a massacre of Jews in Jerusalem by the Arabs. This is when the Turks are running the regime or the region. It was connected, this upheaval, with the upheaval of Muhammad Ali in Egypt at the time, trying to take Israel away from the Turks, break free of Turkish rule. And in this political cauldron, the Jews got massacred. As this violence is dishonestly called the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's decades old. It's not decades old. It's centuries upon centuries old.
גם כשאני בורח, גם כשאני שוכח, אתה לא נותן לי להתרחק ממך, תמיד נמצא. אתה כל כך טוב אליי, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. לא אצליח להסביר, לא מצליח להסתיר, ואתה לא נותן לי להסתתר ממך, תמיד נמצא. שער שנפתח פתאום, אתה כל כך טוב אליי, בני שמספר חלום, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. עיניים נוצצות כמו יהלום, כל כך טוב אליי. מרגיש לרגע את אותו מקום קרוב אליי, שבו עוצם עיניי ושם. אתה טוב אליי, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. גם כשאני טועה, גם כשאיני רוצה, אתה לא נותן לי להתרחק ממך, תמיד נמצא. מדף נשבר מרוב דברים, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. דמעות יוצאות כי אין מילים, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. סבי סיפר לי על מלאכים שליוו את כל חייו, לא הסרת תפילותיו. שנים שמחפש, נופל ומטפס, חושב יותר מדי על מה אני מפספס. אז בוא תגיד לי כן, תראה איך לתקן, לקום מאותו מקום שאני נופל הרבה לב, ומנסה לשווא עד שאני נזכר. טוב אליי, אתה כל כך טוב אליי. גם כשאני בורח, גם כשאני שוכח, אתה לא נותן לי להתרחק ממך, תמיד נמצא.
Well, the latest flap here between normative Jewishness, a.k.a. Orthodoxy, as it's lived in Israel, and its nemesis, so-called Reform Judaism, continues to have mouths flapping here. Opinions left and right all over the place in the MSM, in the Knesset, on TV. And what annoys yours truly, though, is this: is the dishonesty of Reform, apart from differences in belief. For example, I'm well acquainted with the so-called higher criticism of the Bible produced in the mid-19th century by German academics who claimed that the five books of Moses were not the handiwork of one man, Moses. He probably didn't even exist. There had been four separate authors. I understand today they say 16, but then they said four writing from different perspectives whose different versions of the Bible were ultimately edited together by the rabbis after the return from the Babylonian exile. And then not only that, the Jews plagiarized earlier versions of some of their stories in the Bible. It's not original. Anyway, in this theory, it's the theory that's taught in all modern Christian divinity schools. I attended one for a year as a graduate student. It's taught in all college departments around the world in religious studies, and no less to those who want to become Reform rabbis. It's a theory which sprouted at the same time as anti-Semitism. So apart from interpretation and understanding of the text, everyone is entitled to his own beliefs. What is intolerable are the lies that the Reformers are telling. There can be no excuse for that, and one of their principal lies is that Orthodox Jews have no right to tell other Jews they are not Jews. I never cease to be amazed how long-lived and widespread this lie is in the non-Orthodox world. They say there is more than one way to be Jewish, and the Orthodox have no right to tell others they're not Jews. This is intolerable because no Orthodox Jew has ever said that. What Orthodox Jews say is that one's behavior, in theory and practice above all, is not Jewish, which is very different. One is a Jew, either by proper conversion or, most commonly, by birth, which clearly was the decision made by the Almighty, who saw to it that you were born to a Jewish mother, and no man can countermand the Almighty. Your Jewish identity, your status, is from God, and no rabbi can change that. What can be criticized, however, is one's behavior, and that most certainly can be judged as not Jewish. If the words of the Bible, with its 613 commandments, are to be taken seriously, one of them is not to eat pigs. Now, a Jew can eat pigs all he wants, and in the modern age, he's not going to die from it. No more trichinosis, but he cannot claim that this is Jewish behavior. It is this distinction that is all confused in the minds of Reform Jews, and I begin to suspect, deliberately, unconsciously, on purpose, so as not to have to face the correct judgment of the Orthodox when they say, those who do not keep the fourth commandment, who do not observe the Sabbath, and do not practice the ritual, spiritual, appetite discipline known as kashrut, and do not observe the regulations regarding conjugal relations and the mikvah, are not living Jewish lives. The Reform are banging on the doors again, begging for the right to use the mikvahs in Israel to convert people. This issue is still going. Convert to their non-Jewish way of life. When, for sure, in their hometowns in America, I bet good money, there is not one temple with a mikveh that the congregation paid to construct and uses regularly. So what in the name of Sam Hill are they demanding the use of mikvehs here? It's not part of Reform Judaism there. Likewise, these women of the wall who insist upon wearing tefillin and talesim, prayer shawls, like men, back home, in their Reform congregations, the men don't wear them. It's this kind of weird hypocrisy and irrationality that bugs yours truly more than the doctrinal differences. They claim to be the largest stream in American Judaism, but as a stream, they're drying up very quickly. 1990, the intermarriage rate was already 52% of all marriages for Jews. And today, it's surely over 70%. Like lemmings running off a cliff, the Reform are committing suicide, which is one reason they want recognition here in Israel. Like the Titanic going down, the once great ship of American Jewry is sinking beneath the waves, and they want a lifeboat. They want a land of a harbor, of safe harbor. And there's a whirlpool of marrying out from the Jewish people among the Reform. Euphemistically, it's called intermarriage, when I think marrying out is closer to the truth. The Reform claim to be a legitimate stream in Judaism, but when it comes to circumcising their babies, they must seek out an Orthodox circumciser, a moyel, because there are no Reform mohalim. Likewise, in their temples, they have a Torah scroll or two, but not one of them was written by a kosher scribe, a sofer stam, because among the Reform, they don't exist either. Hello, this is not normative Jewishness, as it survived for thousands of years all over the globe. The variations in customs from region to region are colorful and interesting. It is different. The melodies are different. But at bottom, it was the same religion from Morocco to Moscow, from Yemen to Paris, Libya to Germany, a way of life marked by the Sabbath, by kashrut, by mikveh, by circumcision, brit milah. It's an interesting historical tidbit that when in the 1870s in New York, the decade when anti-Semitism was exploding in Europe, the Reform in New York City entered into merger talks with the Unitarian Universalist Church. Because the Reform had become so de-Judaized in theory and practice, there was no reason not to merge until they discovered two. Ultimately, the talks failed. One reason was over the person of Jesus. The Unitarians wanted to teach of his goodness, but even these radically de-Judaized Jews, in light of thousands of years of horror at the hands of Christians, could not get behind that. And secondly, they realized they could not give up circumcision and still remain part of the Jewish people, as they obviously wanted to at some level. This is emblematic of the defective soul of Reform Judaism. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be normal, just like their Gentile neighbors. They don't want any restrictions that keep them apart. At the same time, they would not shed completely their Jewish identity for its emotional rewards. It's a parasitic identity, taking out the good, but doing nothing to perpetuate the people. They have nothing to pass on to their children except remember the Holocaust. But for these kids, if that is all Jewish means, who needs it?
Thank you. כבודו פר וחבור עוד נותנים לי שמו צהלה ורינה לזכר מלכותו קרא לשמש ויזרח אור ראה והתקין צורת הלבנה שבח נותנים לו
listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Maybe you saw the story out of London yesterday of a Labour MP, one Vicky Kirby, who was suspended for the second time for her off-the-rails delusions about Jews. The first time she said they all have big noses and Hitler is the Zionist God. I confess, that's a new one on me. Suffering, obviously, from a cracked version of history as well, like so many anti-Jews, she said, we invented Israel when saving them from Hitler. Chronology's all messed up here. Who now seems to be their teacher, I will never forget, and I will make sure my kids teach their children how evil Israel is. The woman is clearly, she's clinical. This is a... not a political story. It's really something for a medical interest psychiatric department. This woman imagines the Jews today are as evil as Hitler, who became their teacher, their role model. The Jews acting like Nazis toward their victims, the ancient ones. As for her history, we invented Israel when saving them from Hitler. They weren't saved from Hitler. And that's one lie. It's a perversion of historical truth. The Brits, especially, did not invent Israel. The Jews invented Israel. This is like that other lie that says the UN, United Nations, gave Israel a state. When the United Nations gave Israel nothing but a few words, it was the Jews who brought Israel back to life. All the UN did was salute the reality that there were 650,000 Jews in 1947 living there who had the right to live free in their own state on a piece of the Palestine that the League had invented in the 1920s. Less than 10% of the original map. On the Israeli sites, the talkbacks, one can see these cockamamie historical revisions all the time, indications of these crackpot understandings that lead to the Jews, to the anti-Jews attacks on the legitimacy of Israel's existence. You know how we stole Palestine from the Palestinians? How the UN gave us a state. I can't remember a time in my 7 decades of life when there were such stories of British MPs spewing truly demented versions of reality in which, like many Muslims, the Jews are the devil incarnate. What did she say? She wants her grandchildren to be taught how evil the Jews are whom she likened to Adolf Hitler. Our behavior toward the Arabs here has surely been less than perfect, but Hitlerian? Well, Ynet News also reported on a poll taken by the Israeli embassy in Warsaw that discovered 49% of Poles thinking Israel is an aggressive country. The Muslims, even today, attack us every day. Attempts at homicide, Jew-killing every day, or attempts, but in half of Poland, the people see us as aggressive. Also out of the Gatestone site, yesterday we read that in France, 10,000 policemen have been detailed to protect synagogues and Jewish schools, in addition to a train and subway stations, and even some mosques, in an apparent attempt to keep the Muslims happy, keep them from thinking they are being singled out, that they are a separate community. Let's not forget there's a Islamophobia out there, seems to be the message. I never imagined in my lifetime news stories like these. Jews being murdered at random by homicidal anti-Semites. I thought it was a thing of the past. In my subconscious, I seem to have believed that with all the remembrance of the Holocaust stuff, the lesson had finally been learned that insane Jew hatred can light a fire that for sure burns Jews, but not only them. Its flames can engulf the non-Jews, too, who start the fire. I had always apparently assumed that that lesson had been learned, but obviously not. I believe it was learned in civilized societies by the best of the brightest. British prime ministers like Labour's Tony Blair and the Tories' David Cameron know this truth. I think François Hollande in France knows it, and Angela Merkel in Germany, too. But not necessarily the common man. Therefore, we are seeing this resurgence, this recurrence of Jew hatred worthy of pre-Holocaust Europe. Really crazy dark age, Mr. Goss, about Jews and stoked by the presence of millions of Muslims who are light years from Europe's thinking classes, who know the relationship between outrageous hatred of Jews and the menace it poses to a society as a whole. I think there's some connection between this resurgent anti-Jewitis in Europe and the penetration of the continent by Muslim retards still living in a pre-enlightened culture.
מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד ולהתגבר להרחיק העצבות והמרה שחורה בכל כוחו וכל החולת הבאין על האדם כולם באין רק מקלקול השמחה מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד אוי 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 מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד נאי נא 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 להיות בשמחה תמיד אוי 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 מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד ולהתגבר להרחיק העצבות והמרה שחורה בכל כוחו וכל החולת הבאין על האדם כולם באים רק מקלקול השמחה מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד אוי 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 מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד אוי 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 מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה תמיד Nine, 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 nine.
Okay, that's it for this evening and this week. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yehuda.